In this episode, Vidyard's VP of Marketing, Tyler Lazard, talks with me about account-based video marketing and closing deals at faster rates.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
All right, all right. So, look, we've got a fun episode. Coming up in a few moments, I'm going to be joined by Vidyard's VP of Marketing, Tyler Lazard. And what we're really going to be talking about is how a business like yours uses the power of video and account-based marketing to close deals at faster rates. Now, as a listener to this podcast, you already know that I'm a big believer in starting with strategy before you go into video creation, right? Now, when you're thinking about strategy, there's really a couple of different approaches for either account-based marketing. Some companies follow a path of inbound marketing. And the way that I kind of figure out what's right for our client that we're meeting with in the strategy session, I will ask a question like, if I paid you to put all of your target prospects onto a spreadsheet, would that be possible? And if they say no, then I typically don't think account-based marketing is right for them. But here's the catch. If they say yes, well, Todd, we target medical oncologists, or we target HVAC repair people at large facilities. In my mind, I'm like, that could all go on a spreadsheet. If it can go onto a spreadsheet, then you know who to target. If you know who to target, you should be doing account-based marketing. It's so much more efficient. So when you hear this interview with Tyler Lazard, know that we're talking about video with account-based marketing, meaning you've already got a target list of people to engage, and that you're going to use these videos to kick in a door, to make an introduction, to develop a relationship, to start to answer some early awareness stage questions, introduce them to your product or service, and then show them in a later stage towards the bottom of the funnel the unique value proposition that your business provides that makes you really the rock stars to solve their problem, okay? That's the context I want you to listen to when you're involved in this interview. By the way, for information on Vidyard, keep them on your radar. Vidyard.com, the blog, is super smart. I'm going to talk about it in the podcast, but make sure you go and read what's going on there because they got great information that turns marketers into great video marketing masters. All right? So here's my conversation with Tyler Lazard. All right. Well, welcome to a Facebook Live simulcast of the Video Marketing Mastery podcast. I'm joined by Vidyard's VP of Marketing, Tyler Lazard, coming all the way from north of the border up in Canada. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, Todd. I'm here just outside of Toronto where we're headquartered. It's great to be here to talk a little bit about video and video marketing, my friend.
Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about account-based marketing today and lead generation, really how you use video to pull your prospects through the sales funnel at faster and faster rates. But first, for those of you who don't know about Vidyard, Tyler, can you give people a quick introduction to what Vidyard is and the types of businesses that benefit from it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a video platform for businesses. We work with small companies, mid, large enterprise. And the value that we bring is to help companies turn their video assets into tools for lead generation, demand generation. So instead of just being happy somebody came and watched your video, how can you make sure you convert them to the next step in the buyer's journey? And secondly, give them more insights into how their videos are performing, who's engaging in their video content, so they can learn with every program and just continuously do better with their videos.
All right, that's super helpful. It sets the stage. And for those of you that aren't familiar with account-based marketing, you know, an account-based model, it's also known, by the way, as ABM, and it concentrates sales and marketing efforts and the resources to a clearly defined set target of accounts. And, you know, unlike inbound marketing, which allows you to bring in leads that you don't really, can't put them on a spreadsheet, mm-hmm. There are people that are interested in that. Account-based marketing is very defined in the people that you're targeting. You buy all that?
Yeah, so you know, there's a lot of different ways we're doing marketing now. We're doing things like inbound, where we're trying to attract people in. Those are people who are usually raising their hand looking for something. And that's great, but the challenge there is you never know what you're going to find, right? There are a lot of people out there just searching for things that may or may not be somebody you're really going to actively sell to. Account-based marketing, or ABM, is really more of an outbound effort where you're saying, look, we know these are the 20, 30, 50, 100, 200 companies that we want to sell to. They're the right fit for our business. They match our profile. And let's go out and run campaigns to really target them and move them through the buyer's journey and see if we can convert some of those companies faster.
Mm-hmm. And Tyler, you know, some businesses operate both models. Like, for example, Wirebuzz runs a marketing tactic that is inbound. We also run account-based marketing. Do you see a lot of companies that do both?
Oh, absolutely. I think today, in today's world, it's got to be a mix for a lot of businesses. Now, some, again, if you're smaller and you don't have a big sales team, it may be mostly inbound. And those who are targeting really just a small set of accounts may be all outbound. But I think most companies, it really is a mix. You know, you're investing in programs that are finding the people that are searching for what you do, because you do still want to make sure you're harvesting from that field, but as well investing in these outbound programs to say, how can we help our sales team go after these key targeted accounts? And I think the healthiest businesses are ones that are investing in both, and obviously being successful in both is going to be a big help. But if one dries up, the other one can help fill that funnel in different times.
Now, Tyler, I read in the Vidyard blog a great article that you participated in. There's also a fabulous video. Any of you watching can find that at the Vidyard blog at vidyard.com. And so this is, you know, what I want to talk with you about is account-based marketing in the first part of this conversation, lead gen later on. Yep. But account-based marketing also comes with a number of challenges that forces us to rethink how we build these programs, right? Mm-hmm. Largely because we're often targeting prospects who haven't raised their hand yet that they're interested. Can you spend a few moments explaining that to the audience?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a different challenge when you are going outbound and saying, look, we're marketing to companies who may not know who we are yet or haven't raised their hand to say, I'm interested in getting a demo or seeing what you do. And so in that world, you know, it really is a cold call from a marketing perspective. And you need to do different things to stand out, right? The biggest challenge is getting somebody's attention in that world when they may not know who your company is yet. And so you've got to be more creative, I think, in many ways to get your brand in front of them. You have to be more tactful in what types of messages you hit them with in what types of channels. And then be really thinking about, you know, how can you make something that's really specifically targeted at those individuals? Because again, when they come inbound, you know a lot more about them. You know what their interest may be based on what they've opted in for. But when you're going outbound, it's harder to know that. So you got to be smarter, and you got to be more specific, and you got to do a bit more research and really target your programs.
Okay. Now, this is largely because of, you know, how businesses target, how they convince and convert. When you're trying to generate awareness, and this ties directly to the contact stage. And for those that don't know, there are four stages that happen inside of an account-based process. There's identify, and identify is when you target your prospects that have not yet raised their hand. There's connect, which is capturing attention and awareness to stimulate a direct response. Then there's engage, which builds trust and personal connections, relevancy. And the final one is convert, which is on an account level. It's intelligence and insights that are tailored to help create more deals. Really, right. The whole reason Tyler and I are having this conversation is because we both know that video is the most powerful tool on the internet. When you use it for businesses, you convince and convert at faster rates. But based on what type of business model you have, what type of sales model, will determine if you're going to use account-based marketing or not. And with that said, can we spend a few moments on the first phase of account-based marketing, which is identify?
Yeah, so the identification stage is what it sounds like. It's figuring out who are those accounts that we want to go after as a business. And this is often done between both marketing and sales. So marketing looking at which companies fit our ideal profile. Is it large businesses, businesses in certain industries? But at the same time, sales, who are the ones in the field actually talking to these companies, contributing to that conversation. So usually what we see is marketing and sales collaborate to identify who are the 100, 200, 500, whatever the number is, account. And I think that's, again, really important because that sets the stage for the kinds of programs you're going to deliver, obviously based on those accounts that you want to go after.
Now, what Tyler's explaining is very tactical. Some people may think it isn't necessary, but if you are a very smart salesperson or marketing person, you realize that everything starts off with strategy on the front end. And then once you have the strategy in place, you can start executing some of the components that Tyler and I are discussing. So that's identify, right? And there's different content in each stage of this process, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you're at that stage of starting to identify who it is you're going after, it starts to bleed into the awareness stage, if you will, which is saying, okay, these are the 100, 200, 500 accounts we want to go after. And I need to start to now just build basic awareness amongst people in those accounts that our brand exists. And, that when we start, peppering them with content or hitting them with targeted programs, that they have some awareness of who we are. So that's where, at this very top of the funnel, if you will, is again just having that basic understanding of who are we trying to build mindshare with, and how can we do that in a tactful way.
All right, and in the connect phase, how do you describe connect phase to people so you can capture that attention and then start to engage them?
Yeah, so this is the step by saying, okay, we've got these 200 accounts that we're going after. Now, how are we actually going to start to connect with individual people at those accounts? And so this, in modern marketing, there's lots of different ways to start to do this. But, what we typically would see is you may start to do some advertising or some brand awareness targeting at those companies so they know who you are. And then there may be, tactics either buying lists, which isn't always the best way to go, but might be a way to start to get some contact information of people at those companies. Even better can be leveraging social tools to start to connect with people and identify who they might be, or perhaps from past programs, you may have contact information for people at those accounts. And now you want to start to nurture them with some content or some messages to try to get that conversation started. And again, by doing some of those early brand activities, you're at least going into it knowing that, hey, they're going to recognize my company name when I start reaching out. But the connect stage, I personally think, is the toughest part of account-based marketing because, like I said, it's like the old cold calling in the sales world, right? And who wants to take a cold call from a sales rep? It's no different from taking a cold message from a marketer. But that's where you got to start to really think about how you connect with those people in clever ways.
And some of the clever ways are built into the tools and many of the tools that Vidyard provides, which I find really interesting, creating a viewed it video and having it start off with a, hey, Christo, maybe I can grab this. Give me 2 seconds. I got one right here from somebody on our team that recently did this. How's this?
There you go.
If you sent somebody a personalized video and this person's name was David and on their thumbnail image, it said, David, click on this. David's significantly more likely to engage and interact with that video. And now you're starting to develop a relationship. You've piqued their interest and you can kind of start to pull them through your sales process.
Yeah, because what you're doing there is starting to cut through the noise using A, the power of video, and just seeing that this is a video instead of a long, crappy text-based email that I'm going to read, and then doubling up with the personalization to make sure that that person knows this was done just for them. So the way I think about it is, again, in that connect stage, you're likely using email marketing or you're going into their social network to try to present them with something to get their attention. And that's the hardest part right there, is getting something in front of them that they're going to care enough to look at. And so it's A, do you have the right medium and the right message? And that's where just video on itself is usually going to convert higher than, again, sending somebody a bunch of text, maybe with a link to say, download this ebook. But if you put a video thumbnail in that message, they're A, more likely to convert. And then doing that little trick where you might have their name show up or something, now they also know it's personal for them and that it wasn't generated by some automated system like all the other crappy emails they're getting on a daily basis. And so those two things together, the promise of video and it being a more informative and engaging medium, coupled with that kind of personalization has been a home run for people, and we see it working really, really well.
Absolutely. You know, my video, using video in our sales process, Tyler, has revolutionized the way that Wirebuzz engages, convinces, and converts. We see in our own internal studies that just by adding the word video to the subject of the email, we're going to double the open rate. By adding the thumbnail image inside of the video, we're going to triple the click-through rate back to the website. And now what we just did with the power of video is we made email significantly more efficient.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's like email marketing isn't dead. It's just got to go through a revival to be more interesting and more personal and deliver a better message than the typical text-based content we've all been sending for years.
And I totally agree. Now, for those that are watching that we might just be starting to indoctrinate right now into the power of video, the reason text sucks is because reading is hard. And if you need somebody to learn about your product or service, the last thing you want to do is make them work really, really hard to learn about your product. The way you make it easy is use video, because video is a passive learning mechanism. And when people start watching it, the next thing they know, they notice is now you're educating, you're entertaining them, pulling them through the experience, and they're learning at faster rates. You buy all of that, Tyler, right?
Well, I do. And I think equally important is the fact that video is able to create a more emotional connection with people, right? So not only is it the promise of, great, in 60 seconds in a video, I can learn a lot more than I could reading for 60 seconds or reading for 5 minutes, frankly. So it's A, it's more informative. B, I'm going to retain that information longer. But I also have that promise of entertainment, but I also, you know, am able to establish an emotional connection. So if somebody spends 60 seconds reading my email, the likelihood of them actually responding is still very low. But if they spend 60 seconds watching a video, perhaps with, you know, me in it or, you know, something related to it, there's a psychological process happening where they're creating a more emotional bond just because of the way our physiology works. Visual information, audible information, seeing people's faces, seeing their eyes, they create empathy. And they are much more likely to respond because they've now created a stronger connection either to you as an individual or to you as a brand, as an organization. And that's just pure psychology and part of the reason why video works.
Tyler, I'm always posting videos. These are like early awareness stage videos that are tips on how to do things. And when I go to a conference and I'm walking through the hall, people come up to me feeling like they know me and that they've got a deeper relationship. It's the same phenomenon that I had as a kid when I saw Irvin Magic Johnson walk around. Like, I thought I knew him because I saw him on TV every night.
Right.
And people do business with people they know, and people do business with people that are thought leaders in their industry because they've already navigated the path.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I read this great article from one of our customers that posted it just the other day. And she had mentioned how she's been using these kinds of video messages as a way to break the ice into new customer accounts. And she's actually on the sales side, so she's a sales rep. And one of the things I found fascinating about her article was she talked about prior to using video, when it was just text-based messages, she would have about a 50% meeting cancellation rate. So she was prospecting, cold prospecting, somebody would say, yeah, I'll take a meeting, and then only half the time they would actually show up, or, you know, 10 minutes before they would cancel. Now that she's been doing prospecting with video, her meeting cancellation rate is less than 10%. And so, you know, now 9 times out of 10, that person's showing up, whereas it was 5 times before.
Yep.
And, you know, that's entirely attributable to the fact that they've, you know, created some empathy. And, you know, I hate to say it, but there's now a guilt factor of somebody, you know, saying, great, I now feel like I know that person. You know, let's make sure we have that conversation.
Now, I love that. Okay, I'm a super nerd for that. And taking it one step further, I'm now at this point where I want to make sure before my first meeting that I have effectively handled all of the common objections. And before I even get to the objections, I do the frequently asked questions. And the first thing they get is a high level overview on me and the company. So when I show up for that first meeting, for me, the game is, can I get a verbal in the first meeting so I can get rid of the 7 other meetings it normally takes for me to close a deal? And when I do that, then I'm like, oh my God, this video thing is remarkably powerful. Super cool.
I totally agree. And those things where you go in with having a personal connection established. Again, it's funny because even though, you've never actually talked face to face, right? But you've seen each other, in this type of content and your passion comes through. And some of that is what's also important as well, right? Like I'm sure people like yourself, when people watch your videos, that your passion comes through and your humanity comes through. And those things are important to marketing and selling. And a lot of that's gotten lost in today's digital world where, the old world of like sales reps who actually like meet people and buy them lunch and like talk to them about the weather.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't happen anymore. And so as you're watching this, what I want you to do is start thinking about the power of video through your sales process. And how do you pull a buyer through like a carrot in front of them so they can get all the way to the destination where they make a purchase decision? And when you use video, you've really automated your process. You've sped it up. People learn 60,000 times faster with video than with any other type of learning mechanism. So it's super important. All right, Tyler, when you're trying to generate awareness and it ties directly to that connect stage, what are the different ways that you can use video to stand out and get the response that you need?
Yeah, there's the simple things of, adding video content. It might be a customer success story, it might be a product video, it might be a quick video of yourself, to your, email marketing or using out on social as a way to cut through that clutter and try to get that person to interact. But I also love these more personalized video experiences. So again, things we've talked about, like, again, having a sales rep actually record a message for that person, put their name up on the whiteboard like you showed as a way to cut through that clutter and drive a higher response rate. There you go. And, the other way is we have one of my favorite technologies that we've built at Vidyard is called personalized video. And it's a way to actually automate the ability to bring somebody's name or their company name right into the fabric of the video itself. And then the thumbnail for that video, again, has that in there. So you can kind of bring these things together to do one of it at scale. You can automate some personalization to say, hey, these people are going to get an email in their inbox with a video that has their name or their company name in it, which is likely to get their attention. And then they're also going to get a personal video with a sales rep actually introducing themselves, saying hi. And again, those are just a couple of the things that we're finding are helping people boost their response rates from 1% to 2% to 5% to 10%. And that can be the big difference when you're trying to target a key account.
Look, guys, when we started using video to explain our process, to educate our customers, we decreased 68% of our sales cycle, and people were buying in 3 weeks instead of 9. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's really the power of it. Tyler, you explain it really well. And it's clear that personalized video and standing out in the inbox is what makes Vudit such a powerful tool for salespeople, business owners to be able to leverage. Talk to me about Vudit. Explain the impact that it has on the buyer's journey in the sales process.
Yeah, so one of the things we did with Vudit as a product was to try to make what we're talking about simple for the everyday person, the everyday sales rep, because you and I talk about video all the time. Right. We know the tricks of the trade. We've got a studio with a camera sitting beside us, and we can record these kinds of videos and deal with them. But your average salesperson or business owner doesn't have that same luxury. So with Vudit, what we did was we made that as simple as possible. So like literally right within your browser, you click a little record button, your camera turns on, you could do a screen capture with your camera or just your webcam, record your personal video, and then one click to send it out via email. You don't have to worry about uploading it anywhere, encoding files, any of that garbage. It's just simple. And that's what we found was really important and enabling sales reps to crank these out just as fast as they can in email. So that was kind of step one to making video accessible to these individual people. So it didn't feel like it was a Herculean effort to record a video and send it out. So that was kind of, part of making this an accessible solution. And what we've seen from there is now an incredible amount of creativity because you remove those barriers and now people are just being creative with how they use it. And they're using it to record screen captures of somebody's LinkedIn profile. Again, as a way to stand out and say, I noticed based on what you do in your business, I could probably help you. So lots of different tricks of the trade people are starting to find as ways to just stand out and be creative, which is what I love to see with this stuff now.
All right. So one of the things that I love about using video in the sales process is the back end intel that the video provides. for those of you that are new to the power of the back-end intel that video can give you, I want you to recognize that with text, you can't evaluate attention span from your audience. But with video, you can, let's say, if you can isolate your audience and know which of your target prospects are watching over 80% of the video. And for me, somebody that's going to watch 80%, like Doug Lober, who's watching right now, Doug is a more interested person than somebody who just watched 10%. And that would be an indicator for any business that you should be following up with people that are giving you long attention spans, because they're more serious buyers. And with tools that that Vidyard provides, you can also be tracking on the back end and get real-time notifications. Tyler, introduce the audience to that type of insight that a sales team can have on their prospects.
Yeah, so that's, you know, part of how we really got started as a business was actually to focus on those analytics and recognizing that opportunity for to be able to track how long are people engaging in certain videos, and how can we use that intel to, you know, make sales and marketing smarter. You know, exactly as you said, if I know that this prospect watched a product video all the way to the end, they watched a webinar for 30 minutes, and they watched a customer video for 4 minutes, you know, that individual is an extremely engaged lead that I should be focusing on. So that's really where we started as a company, and a lot of these tools on top of it evolved to say, okay, now that that foundation is there, how can we make sure more and more people are engaging in that video content so we can use these analytics in really rich ways. So that's something that always gets me excited, is that opportunity with, like you said, not only knowing did someone click play, but who were the ones who stayed engaged. And again, as a marketer,
yeah, that stuff that a sales team in the past didn't have access to at all. Mm-hmm. And I want to give the audience a couple of practical applications of how you can use those insights to close deals, or for different businesses, how you could be using it. Tyler, we have a client that is a major medical device manufacturer, mm-hmm. and they sell devices that are multi-million-dollar devices to hospitals. But in order to teach people the value of that device, they actually have to invest roughly around $100,000 per target customer to train them on that device. And wow, they bring them out, right, and train them. But at the end of the day, it's not cost effective. So what we've been doing is showing them how to use the videos to pre-qualify who comes out for the free training. And in right. doing so, they can look on the back end and say, this one target customer has watched 95% of our three videos. That's the guy we're supposed to be investing in. That's one application, right?
Yeah.
Another one is a sales team. On your website, you could have multiple videos. And if you start to see that one company or one individual at a company starts crushing the videos, mm-hmm. your sales team should get a real-time notification to follow up with that person and start developing a relationship. Or I'll give you one more because I'm on a roll. If you have a booth at a conference and you want to schedule meetings at that conference, you can send out invites or emails to everybody in your database that's going to be at that conference in 3 weeks, include a video, and anybody that starts watching that video, you have on a short hit list that you're going to go up and say hello to if right. they don't schedule a meeting. All of those ways you can use it to drive better leads and engagement to conversion.
Absolutely. And I'm going to one-up you on that last one, Todd.
All right.
Because what our team does with sale events coming up is they record a personal video and they send it. But right at the end of the video, they use our interactive capabilities and it pops up a scheduler. So they use Calendly to schedule meetings. And so they don't even have to wait for the person to respond. Right at the end of the video, it pops up and says, schedule a meeting with me. And you can pick a free time and book it without ever leaving the video itself. So there's things like that when you start to combine that interactive capability where this stuff just becomes really, really impressive.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, I'm a total nerd for that, Tyler. I probably do about 25 conferences or speaking appearances a year. And at right. each time, if I'm going to be stuck there at a convention center for a full day, I've got to schedule new meetings every half hour for it to be to make me feel like it's worth my time. And so I always schedule out by sending out emails, put the video in there, evaluate, and then schedule. So that's a really nice use of Vidyard to be able to make sure that you're priming your pump So when you show up and you're on location, you already have those meetings in check for yourself. Well done.
Yep. No, absolutely. Yeah. The last thing I'll add to that, Todd, just tying it back to the ABM theme, is the last use of analytics we're also seeing is rolling it up at an account level. And so if I start to know that, oh, there's 20 different people from GE that watched, you know, 2 hours worth of my video content in the last month, I know that's a hot account that I should be going after because they're highly engaged. So again, this stuff just, you know, starts to really unravel a lot of interesting opportunities for businesses when you know exactly who's engaging, how they're engaging. And, you know, it's a really exciting future for how people are doing this video.
Absolutely. You know, I'm willing to bet, Tyler, that most sales teams burn about 60% of their time chasing around cold leads that would never convert. Literally. Yep. I mean, if you think about the way we used to do business, it was all about chasing people around that their business was the right size to be a customer, but you didn't know if they had any interest in you at all, but you at least retouched them every 30 days.
Right.
And this is the covert way to be able to track on the back end if your prospects are really looking and who's interested. And so you can bring them down the path to conversion. With account-based marketing, Tyler, for those that don't know, do you have like a series of 3 videos or 5 videos that you want them to watch in succession? And if so, explain that process.
Yeah, I think for any given account you're targeting, you know, A, you want to make sure you've got your kind of explainer video starting to get consumed. So they understand the problem statement as much as they understand the solution, right? You can never go into a cold account and just start pitching features and functions. That's not the way to do it. And so you want to start with that kind of content that's going to help them understand the problem, you know, first. The second thing is you're going to want to make sure they start to engage in customer stories. So getting that peer validation of others in their market or others like them who are seeing success with your business. That stuff is so powerful and really, really works to build trust with your brand. And I think that's where these kind of personal one-to-one prospecting emails and relationship building videos really go into play.
Okay, super, super. Tyler, can we talk about demand generation for a few moments? So, you know, demand generation is a really interesting thing. A lot of companies, customers may not even know that they need your product or service. So in some cases, maybe your product or your service is disruptive. So the industry isn't quite aware that that solution's available. And using video in an early awareness stage, top of funnel, a process to create demand is a really important way for companies to start filling up that funnel. What's your recommendation for businesses out there, Tyler, and how they use video in a demand generation capacity?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think when you're in that mode, there's a couple things. First, tying back to what I said just earlier, is creating great video content that's going to help surface the problems that you can help solve. Because often, you know, again, you got to put the outside in view on things. You know, most people are genuinely fine going along their day-to-day business, and they're not necessarily looking to you know, do something heroic. But what they are looking to do is solve pain, right? And so you really got to tap into that pain. And video is so good at being able to really kind of unearth those pain points and show it from a more human perspective. And so I think that's where, you know, the kinds of videos, customer stories, explainer videos that have people really explicitly talking about that. You know, I had this challenge and I went about looking for ways to solve it. And now here's kind of where I've come to. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important in that sort of storytelling aspect of, you know, thinking about what are the challenges you're going to solve and baking that into the content you're producing. So it's a good way to really fuel people in and pull them into the story as a starting point.
And to echo what you're saying, if your business solves a problem, and quite frankly, whose doesn't, right?
Sure.
If your business solves a problem and it would be, and you provide key advice for your target customers, start providing that advice in video. The philosophy that I like to use that kind of governs our own early awareness demand generation videos here at Wirebuzz is helpful is the new viral. You know, my goal isn't to go, right? My goal isn't to go viral to everybody and my mother. Not everybody and my mother is a target customer, especially my mom. But if I can start being helpful to my target customer and start providing really smart tactical advice and guidance without anything, not asking anything, I just want to be able to help solve their problems, well, eventually they're going to want to get other problems solved, and I'm going to want to be the one that provides it for them, and people do business with people they have relationships with. Do you follow a similar philosophy, Tyler, when you're thinking about demand generation?
Yeah, 100%. You know, a big part of our demand generation strategy is around thought leadership, is around education, and is around becoming a trusted advisor to our prospects and customers. And so, you know, the kind of content we produce to fuel that, you know, really is centered around that value prop of saying, we're going to, you know, we live in this industry, and let's not take it for granted how much we've learned and how much we know. So let's share that knowledge with others looking to solve similar problems, right? And the interesting thing about that approach is it can fuel both your inbound and your outbound strategies. From an inbound perspective, that kind of content, if done properly, can really help drive your inbound, you know, search engine traffic. People are, you know, typing, how do I solve this problem? That kind of content can bring them into your website to educate them and bring them into your process. But on the outbound side, our sales reps do this all the time. They're simply sharing valuable content. We sort of call it the no ask touch, where they're going out and saying, hey, you know, I understand you're doing this. We just released this great video talking about best practices for A, B, and C. Thought you might find some value in it. You know, I hope you enjoy it, right? They're not ending saying, when can I book a meeting? They're saying, hopefully you'll find some value here. And if that customer does, you know darn well they're going to come back and say, this is interesting, I'd love to chat further. And that works so, so well these days.
Yeah, Tyler, it's a smart approach. I'm particularly interested in using those helpful videos to create top of mind marketing. Mm-hmm. And so almost every time I put out a new video on social media, somebody who's already in my referral network, somebody who's already been following me, introduces me to a friend, a colleague, a brother who's opening up a business that needs our services. Right. And I'm never, in that early awareness demand generation, I'm never selling, like you mentioned, but I'm being helpful, so I never feel icky about it. That's part of the key, right? You don't want to feel icky with your early awareness stage stuff.
You heard it here first, folks. That's the key to top of funnel marketing, is to not feel like you have to take a shower every night just to wash off the ick of what you've been talking about. I totally agree. And, you know, you're in a great spot when you can do this stuff with a very genuine intent and really get excited about it. But again, I tell a lot of, you know, my marketing peers of, you know, don't take for granted how much you and your business learns every day about your market and, you know, how valuable it can be to share that information back with the community. And it's, you know, again, it can pay off in spades in terms of the content you can create.
Hey, most companies, including Vidyard, correct me if I get off track here, but most companies use their blog section as their early awareness stage content section. Do you agree with that?
So I was confirming, yes. I think, you know, a lot of companies start with a blog as a great way to start to produce content that's going to generate, you know, some inbound traffic. And, you know, one of the, I don't know if you're going to segue to this, but let me just segue right into the role of video on blogs. You know, we've seen a lot of people obviously investing in, you know, they write text-based content and publish it as information on their blog. But we are seeing a lot more use of video. And what really works well is if you can, you know, publish a video in your blog, you're going to get different types of people wanting to engage in it. But what you can also do is do a transcription of the audio of that video and have that accompany it in text. And that's going to help sort of, you know, double up on your search engine results, because A, Google will give you higher preference if there's video on that page. But B, you're still getting all of that metadata, and Google's going to index that page very highly if it's got all the right keywords. So it's kind of a double win when you add video, but also make sure you've got the transcription on that page.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. Most people don't take into consideration watch time or time on page and how that factors in as a primary ranking factor on Google and also on YouTube and Facebook. And the longer people stay on a page, and they're going to stay twice as long on a page that has a video than a page that doesn't. As Tyler mentioned, of course, you've got to have the text because Google's got to read and be able to index via the text. And some people prefer to read, but it's very small. It's like 10% of the audience. So you've got to create the text to support it. But having that video on there will make people there twice as long, which tells Google that that page is of high quality. And ultimately what we want to do is leapfrog ahead of competitors by having people on our site longer so they can evaluate us longer develop deeper relationships and understand our product and service better. And ultimately, they end up doing business with you. Right?
Yep. No, absolutely. And, you know, Brian Halligan, the CEO of HubSpot, you know, who's one of the companies who's really led this charge around inbound marketing and using blogs to drive people in, at their last industry event a few months ago, you know, he said on stage in 2017, you know, 50% of your content should be video, which is a huge shift from a company that really built its world around the notion of blog and inbound. And so, you know, there's a lot of good indications out there of people recognizing that not only that people prefer to consume video content in many ways, but that, you know, the technology around it is all gravitating towards preferring video content with respect to recommending people to content. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think that's well said. You know, a company like HubSpot, which has traditionally been text-based, for them to start to see the value of video, and I know they have for a long time, but for them to start recognizing and acknowledging that video is really just an accelerant, it's like pouring gas on a fire. It makes every digital tactic more aggressive and more powerful, and so it's really interesting to see like big text start leaning into, you know, video and start using video for their business tools.
It is interesting. The other quote that I really liked recently was the idea around, and this was coming from Mark Zuckerberg and the Facebook world, which was this trend towards today, video really complements text on the web, if you think about it, right? Like it's primarily text, and then video is usually used to complement the text-based story with supporting content. And we're starting to move towards the shift in that where, you know, video is starting to take the lead. And the question is, will, you know, we shift from video complementing text to text complementing video? But we are starting to see it on social networks, right? The amount of content consumption of video-based content is just absolutely off the charts. And you're starting to see those early indicators that people prefer to publish and then consume video. And text is just the supporting piece there to help me figure out which video should I watch as opposed to the other.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I actually think it's kind of funny because when I'm seeing these sites starting to go video first, what the articles say is that video is like the most powerful trend in 2017. But we've seen this for years. It's like 2016 and 15 and 14 and 10 and 9 and so on. Video is a trend. But video isn't a trend. Video is a foregone conclusion. Video is going to be a tool and the primary tool, convince and convert. And the faster they do that, a rapid adoption to video, the quicker they're going to be able to convince and convert their target customers at faster and faster rates. Now, I know it's a foregone conclusion for those of us that live and love video, but start thinking about how you can use this tool to indoctrinate your sales team. Because once your sales team starts using video, then they're going to start having new deals flow through and convince and convert at faster rates. But it's really interesting for me that you need to be considering how you use video for your sales team, how you use it on your website, how you incorporate tools like Vidyard and the back end data to be able to look at your prospects, all of them, and evaluate them by their attention span, not by their company budgets or the number of employees, but how interested they are. So often you need to have videos that pique interest, early awareness stage, right? If you send them an email that's got a video in it, that video will pique their interest. It'll start to develop the relationship. And from there, well, then you've got a series of other content that pulls them right through your funnel towards conversion. For me, the whole goal is, how do I sell at faster rates? If video didn't sell at faster rates, I wouldn't be a video guy, right? I wouldn't be going around preaching the gospel of how to use video to close deals at faster rates, but I've seen it firsthand. And my first campaign that Wirebuzz ran for our own company, when we included video in the sales process, we generated $365,000 in new revenue. But the part I like best is how we started closing deals at faster rates. Earlier, I mentioned to you, it used to take us 9 weeks from start, from hello, right, to when we closed the deal. But once we added video into that process, we discovered that people were just learning faster. And we were piquing their interest at quicker rates. So they were buying in a third of the amount of time. Start reevaluating your business's sales process. And when you start doing that, you'll see that you need to create certain video assets through the sales funnel that'll move people through the process like they've jumped on a slip and slide and now they're headed at faster rates to conversion. That's how I'm doing it and our clients are doing it. And I highly recommend you look into tools like Vidyard. For more information about Vidyard, go to vidyard.com. That's the best place to go. Their blog is an essential video marketing resource. I read it every week, and when I find really smart articles in there, I reach out to the team at Vidyard to be a part of the podcast to share some of their insights. And that's why Tyler Lazard joined us right here on Video Marketing Mastery. Now, coming up, what we're doing right now is we're recording episode 97. All right, so this is the 97th episode. And the next episode's all going to be the latest video marketing news and how you can use it. There's always a business takeaway when possible of how you can use this video marketing news to amplify your sales or your marketing goals. That'll be coming up in the next episode. And for those of you in the audience, if you have any questions along the way, please submit in your questions. You can find me on any of the social networks. And if you submit in your question, I will reply back either in this podcast or I'll reply back directly in video. Now, let me give you an example. This week, we had one of the listeners of this podcast ask a question about how do you use video in investor relations issues? Now, I sent them a personal video. I posted it on social media, but I'm going to give you a quick overview in just a moment on how you use that that video asset in IR, investor relations situations, to be able to pull a prospect through the process and turn them into an investor. So here's how you do it. You should be creating a microsite on your website that's just devoted to speaking to potential investors. That investor relations site should have above the fold a video that's an investor relations overview video that shows the impact that your product has on the market opportunity, the investment impact, and where the growth is headed, right? All of those needs to be demonstrated. And for those of you that are watching live right now, it's important for you to understand that in this investor relations video, you don't want to have a background like I'm doing right here. The investor relations video should be tightly scripted. Make sure you and your team write it in advance. And while you're explaining things, you cut away from the person talking or the voiceover expert, and you start to show images and B-roll and graphs of how you're going to hit this target market and the revenue that's available for those people that want to get into this investment right now. And you want to lay down a really powerful, exciting music bed. It's the third dimension that inspires people to take the next step. All right. The other thing you want to do in investor relations is you want to answer frequently asked questions. Address who your leadership is. People buy not just by product. There's a lot of great ideas out there. They also buy by who are the geniuses behind it. And if your team has a bunch of 18-year-olds in a Harvard dorm that are thinking about building some silly social network, it's a really bad example because Zuckerberg, the big Zuck, pulled that one off. But for most people, they're not going to be able to do that, right? So in that investor relations portal on your site, that microsite, you should be showing who the thought leaders are in your company that are going to take it from where the revenue is now to where it's going to be. All of that, I hope, makes sense. If you've got any questions along the way, you can always submit them in. And if you've got a topic that you'd like explored on Video Marketing Mastery, just go to wirebuzz.com/pitch with a P and submit in your topic, your guest, and we will look at an opportunity to bring them into the podcast so they can share their insights. Or if you're pitching in a question or a topic, we'll handle it on this podcast for you and make sure you've got some really smart tactical applications for using video the most powerful tool on the internet to convince and convert at faster rates. Hey, if this podcast was valuable to you, well, by all means, go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play and hit the subscribe button. And what we will do is we will send you each and every new episode so you can listen to me while you're in the car, stuck in traffic, or on your daily commute, or while you're at the gym. I listen to marketing podcasts at the gym because I'm a big marketing nerd. Got it? You should be doing the same. Learn, learn, and before you know it, you'll be a video marketing master. All right, so that's the latest information on how to use video for account-based marketing and demand generation. A special thank you to Tyler Lazard, the VP of Marketing at Vidyard, to our friends at Vidyard for helping us pull this together. Again, vidyard.com is where you're going to want to go. And then our next episode we're going to record, which is all of the latest information in the video marketing world, the latest news and your practical applications of how you use it for business to amplify your business metrics. That's all I got for you in this episode. Thank you for tuning in. And on behalf of the team here at Wirebuzz, we wish you a very prosperous week. And we hope that this information, if it's valuable, can be sent off to friends or supporters that are going to help you make very smart business decisions, right? All right, peace out, everybody. We'll look forward to talking with you next week right here on Video Marketing Mastery.